Hello, I'm Dr. Jason Isert, Associate Professor of Urology and Oncology at Queen's University and the Kingston Health Sciences Center. We attended virtually the 2021 European Society of Medical Oncology annual conference from September 16th to September 21st. I'm here with Dr. Jeffrey Gatto, who's a clinical associate professor in the departments of surgery and oncology at the University of Calgary, and urological oncologist at the Southern Alberta Institute of Urology. He's here to talk to us about a potentially groundbreaking abstract that was presented at the conference. Dr. Gatto.
Great. Yes, thank you for the introduction.
Perfect.
So I'd like to present the results briefly from the STAMPEDE trial looking at the use of abiraterone prednisone with or without enzalutamide added to ADT compared to ADT alone for men with high-risk non-metastatic prostate cancer. And again, this is a combined analysis from the STAMPEDE study presented by Dr. Attar. So as part of the background of the study, we know the majority of men who die from prostate cancer in Europe and North America are non-metastatic at diagnosis. And in the high-risk non-metastatic patient population, we know standard of care typically includes 3 years of ADT along with local radiation therapy. Despite this treatment, we know that failure rates remain high. And so this patient population reflects an unmet need. We also know as background to the study design that metastasis-free survival has proven to be a valid surrogate for overall survival in non-metastatic patients. As part of the study design, the trial looked at standard of care treatment, as I mentioned, ADT for 3 years, along with radiation therapy in appropriate patients, compared with that standard of care in addition to abiraterone and prednisone for 2 years, with or without the use of enzalutamide. This slide breaks down the patient population a bit more detail. So in terms of non-metastatic criteria, patients had to have no evidence of metastatic disease on conventional imaging, CT and bone scan. For patients who were newly diagnosed high-risk patients, they had to have any of the following, either node positivity or two or more of stage T3 or T4, PSA 40 or higher, or Gleason 8 or higher disease. For patients who are relapsing after previous treatment, either with surgery or radiation therapy, patients had to be either node positive, have PSAs 4 or higher, rising with a doubling time of less than 6 months, or a total PSA of 20 or higher. So the randomized groups were well-balanced in the trial. Overall, roughly 2,000 patients randomized. Median age was about 68. Median PSA, 34. Node positivity in 39% of patients. And important to note that only 3% of patients in the trial were relapsing after previous treatment with either surgery or radiation therapy. So we see here the primary endpoint of metastasis-free survival presented, comparing the two arms in the study with a highly significant hazard ratio of 0.53 favoring the treatment arm in combination abiraterone prednisone with or without enzalutamide, and an improvement in six-year metastasis-free survival from 69 to 82%. So clinically significant. When you look at overall survival, you see a similar results. Again, highly significant hazard ratio 0.60, and again, six-year improved overall survival from 77 to 86% in favor of the treatment arm. Adverse events remained low and similar when you compare the abiraterone prednisone treatment arm to the ADT alone arm. Certainly there was greater toxicity seen in the combination arm where abiraterone and enzalutamide were used together. The study did have some limitations. There's no long-term reported complications beyond 2 years. There's no data on treatment durations other than 2 years. And we mentioned that relapsed patients, patients who had prior surgery or radiation therapy, were underrepresented in the study, making up only about 3% of the study population. And again, this study does not provide us with any evidence for single agent AR antagonist efficacy. So conclusions, 2 years of abiraterone prednisone-based therapy significantly improved MFS and OS in this high-risk patient population, non-metastatic, and should be considered a new standard of care in the treatment of these patients. Secondarily, adding enzalutamide to abiraterone prednisone seemed only to increase toxicity and had no discernible effect on any of the outcomes, including MFS or OS. And so to conclude some of my perspectives, I believe this is a practice-changing study. The MFS and OS endpoints were compelling and highly statistically and clinically significant. There was minimal toxicity to adding abiraterone prednisone treatment. In terms of limitations, this is the first study of its kind in this patient population. There's no confirmatory study available. As I mentioned previously, there's a small subset of patients who were treated in a salvage setting. So I don't know if those results are generalizable. There may be some barriers to accessing abiraterone in this patient population, at least initially, before the results can be applied. And then there will be questions, I think, going forward about who might initiate treatment with abiraterone if it is felt to be a new standard of care in this patient population. Will it be the treating radiation oncologist? Will it be the patient's urologist? Or might it be medical oncologist? And I think that's something that might depend on the province and center of the patients being treated in. And with that, I'd like to conclude and forward to some discussion.
Thanks very much for that that great summary, Dr. Gatto. Really appreciate that. I just had one question for you. As you alluded to, you know, 97% of these were de novo patients, with only 3% of these patients being relapsed after surgery. I just wondering if I could get your comments on, obviously you say this is, you know, groundbreaking, and you know, I agree with you, the magnitude of effect is very similar to the URTC study, which caused us to use ADT in combination with radiation therapy initially. So just wondering if I could get your comments on how you see this being applied to different cohorts within the study. Obviously there were two broad categories of de novo patients relapsing patients. I agree with you that it's groundbreaking in the de novo patients. How would you use this to guide your therapy in the patients who are relapsing after primary therapy?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think it would be difficult to generalize these results to that salvage setting, given that the patients in that group made up only 3% of the overall study cohort. So I don't feel that the results are generalizable there, but certainly worthy of further investigation. There are certainly some ongoing studies looking at ARAT use alone or in combination with androgen deprivation therapy in the salvage setting. The EMBARK trial would be one example of that. The results are obviously still pending, yeah, I think that's certainly a patient population that requires further study.
Great. Thanks for your thoughts and your great summary of the abstract. Appreciate it.
Thank you.